The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Easter was nice, wasn't it? I thought worship went well last Sunday and was quite joyous. Not only that, we had a big turnout for the breakfast between services. Folks enjoyed good food and good fellowship and helped to assemble a lot of Lutheran World Relief school kits, some of which are piled in front of the altar over there for blessing. It might be my post-Lent, post-Holy Week, post-Easter weekend clergy fog, but despite my fond memories, last Sunday feels like quite a while ago already. Time is flying by, as usual. We've moved on from egg hunts. Most of the beautiful lilies that decorated the chancel have been delivered to our homebound or picked up by their sponsors. Looks like worship attendance is back to normal. And if tradition holds, at our worship and music committee meeting this coming Tuesday, at least one person will ask me whether I've started planning Advent and Christmas yet. No, I haven't. While we've got a week under our belts since celebrating Christ's resurrection, the disciples in the story I just read from the Gospel of John do not. It is still Easter day for them, the evening of that day. And while the disciples have heard by now about Jesus' tomb being opened wide, the stone rolled away from the entrance, setting our risen Lord and Savior loose in the world, they are hiding behind a closed door, locked up tight, going nowhere. The disciples are afraid, the Gospel of John tells us, and it's no wonder. Their lives have been turned upside down. They have watched their beloved Lord, their master, their teacher, die on a cross. And now, just a few days after Jesus' broken and bloodied and lifeless body was laid to rest, there's this disconcerting, crazy news of resurrection. Close the windows, lock the door, keep the news at bay. It's all just too much. And so the disciples sit in a dark and airless house, sit in their stifling sorrow and fear and unbelief. Not for long, because into their midst comes Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Peace, Jesus says, peace be with you. He breathes on the disciples, breathes the refreshing, life-giving, holy wind of God onto them, into them. And their sorrow, their fear, their unbelief is changed into rejoicing. Poor Thomas. We don't know why he isn't a part of this Easter evening reunion with Jesus. But when he hears about it later, he dismisses what he is told. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. You wonder what went on during the week that followed. Did Thomas's disciple friends try to convince him that what they said was true? Did Thomas wander out to the tomb when no one was looking to peek in and see whether it was truly empty? Did the group gang up on him? Thomas, remember what Jesus taught us. Remember how he said he would be killed and after 3 days rise again. How can you not believe? Whatever happened that week, Jesus' disciples are apparently still experiencing some lingering anxiety because once again, they've put themselves behind closed doors. But then Jesus comes. No doors can keep him out. He speaks words of peace once again, and Thomas, who insisted on his unbelief, who demanded physical proof of the resurrection, is quickly changed by this encounter with his risen Lord. Notice that Jesus doesn't chastise Thomas for his doubt. He doesn't question Thomas's faithfulness or fidelity or loyalty. No, Jesus acknowledges Thomas's difficulty and offers himself up. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. I can't hear anything but love in those words of Jesus. I can't hear them as anything else than a loving, compassionate invitation from the Son of God to his friend to accept the wonderful, crazy good news that death has been defeated. God's love has won. The tomb really is empty. There is nothing left to fear. And in response to Jesus, to his presence, his words of peace and love and compassion, Thomas's unbelief is transformed into belief. My Lord and my God, he boldly proclaims, it is you. Christ is risen. Yes, this is good news. The news that death has lost its sting, that sorrow and pain and sin are not the last word. That we, beloved of God, have been redeemed. And we are indeed meant to be comforted by the Easter promise and gladdened by it. But we are also meant to be emboldened by Christ's victory over sin and death, emboldened to open up the windows and unlock the doors, to step outside our comfort zones, and to love and serve a world in need. For our love and service is rooted in our resurrected Lord. And I hope you hear that in the hymn we'll be singing in a few moments. It's a new hymn for our congregation from a resource called All Creation Sings. And the hymn text makes the connection between the crucified and risen Jesus and us clear. "See my hands and feet," says Jesus, "love arisen from the grave. Be my hands and feet," says Jesus, "live as ones I died to save." Pay attention to those words as you sing them, because they're a call to you and to me, to all of us, to touch and feed and clothe and visit and care for others in the name of Christ. On Easter, and on the second Sunday of Easter, and the third, and the seventh, and then in the season of Pentecost, and on Reformation, and All Saints, and throughout Advent and Christmas, and always. For through the work of our hands and feet, and by the grace of God, we make known the joyous good news that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.